Welcome to the Love Mentalism Podcast, a program devoted to exploring a deeper understanding of how much God loves us and how we can extend that love to our neighbors and friends. Your host, Mike DeCamp, will share his thoughts on biblical texts as well as practical examples from day-to-day life. Sprinkled among the episodes will be interviews with insightful people and discussions of other book resources that could be helpful for a growing understanding of biblical love.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Mike DeCamp. Thank you for joining me for this episode. If you're a regular listener, I especially appreciate your returning yet again for another foray into the project of learning to love God and love one another better. As I mentioned in my previous episode, there was a bit of a delay in getting this episode prepared, recorded, and uploaded. I took a little two-week solo driving adventure, which put everything else I do on hold. I'm still catching up. If you're interested in learning more about my trip, though, I did record an episode of my other podcast, the Cutter's Notch podcast, that was an entertaining overview of my experiences, and I did have some experiences. This episode of the Love Mentalism podcast is a continuation of my Love Initiative series. This is class number 5, Bridging the Generations. If you're just jumping in, I encourage you to go back to class 1 and work your way forward so you can get the full picture of what's been covered so far. That class was titled Shining Lights and Lampstands. Okay, let's jump in. A few years back, I was honored to be asked to give the eulogy at my mother-in-law's celebration of life. As is my practice, I focused on the ways that this remarkable woman expressed the love of God and how she cared for others. I noted that she didn't wear her faith on her sleeve. Rather, she wore it on her apron. How she served friends, family, neighbors, and even strangers. Afterward, a friend, Jim Brantley, approached me and commented that I just can't help but talk about love. I responded something to the effect of, yeah, that's the only thing that really matters. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 19. I'll be reading from the New International Version. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. As we begin to examine how best to bridge our generational divides, I think it's important to understand just what it means to be rooted in love. To do that, we need to have a clear concept of what being rooted means in general. Then we can apply it to being rooted in agape love. Obviously, the term comes from the world of plants. Everything from our food crops to the great sequoia trees are rooted. The roots of the plants do two things. One, they anchor the plant in place, keeping it from being swept away or washed away in floods and storms. And two, they are the source of the flow of nutrients that promote the growth of the plant. So rooted and established means you're locked in place, safe from the things that would sweep you away. And you're getting the nutrients you need to grow and thrive. Paul wants us to be rooted and established in love. Love is our anchor. It locks us in place against the swirling winds of this life, of which there are many. It also provides us with the nutrients of faith that we need to continue to grow in Christ. Then, Paul is praying for his readers to have power. Usually, when we want power, it's to have control, to push our agenda, to drive our purpose forward, to impact our surroundings. In this case, Paul is praying for Christians to have the power to better understand how overwhelmingly huge is the love of Christ. Why? Because this is what will bring us true fulfillment in life, the fullness of God in our lives. The love of Christ is beyond our reasonable comprehension. If you think it goes so far, well, it goes farther. You think it's deep? Yep, it goes deeper. You think it's as high as the stars? It's well beyond that. It's bigger than the biggest imagination. Don't you want the power to fully comprehend it? Or to at least get a grip on its scope? Love is what the Christian is rooted into. It's the core of the establishment of our faith and our relationship with God and one another. We should pray for the power to better understand its impact, to begin to grasp what it does and what it can do in our lives. Note that Paul says that this love surpasses knowledge. So often we're focused on building our Bible knowledge, memorizing facts and figures, gathering more spiritual details into our memorized piles of information. That's all well and good, but what we really need to better know and understand is love. Love surpasses knowledge. It's what gives us the fullness of God. With these concepts close in mind, let's shift our thoughts to our generational gaps. I want to demonstrate the gaps by looking at some people and music from the world of entertainment. A few years ago, I was getting what's left of my hair cut. One of the icons of acting that I'd known about since childhood had recently passed away, and I mentioned that fact to the person cutting my hair. She'd never heard of him. As a follow-up, I mentioned some other classic actors. She knew none of them. I was of a different generation. Okay, here are a list of the top songs going back to the 1940s. I Googled each year by decade. How many of them do you recognize? See if you know them. The song in 1940, I'll Never Smile Again by Tommy Dorsey. Do you know that one? 1950, Good Night, Irene by Gordon Jenkins and the Weavers. Have you heard of them? 1960, A Theme from a Summer Place by Percy Faith. 1970, In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry. That's a cool name. Here's where I start remembering. 1980, Call Me by Blondie. 1990, Hold On by Wilson Phillips. 2000, Breathe by Faith Hill. 2010, TikTok by Kesha. 2020, Blinding Lights by Weeknd. And I simply jumped to June 2025. The song it gave me was Ordinary by Alex Warren. Personally, I can't say I'm super aware of the music of Tommy Dorsey. I had heard of him. The last two, from 2020 and 2025, I had to look those songs up and listen. I didn't recognize the artist or the song. How about you? When did you start recognizing the artist and the music? When did your recognition drop off? I think what generation you're in makes an impact on that. Let's try this again with famous actresses. I did a similar search by greatest actresses by decade. Let's see how we do there. 1940s, Ingrid Bergman and Betty Davis. 1950s, Audrey Hepburn and Grace Kelly. 1960s, Elizabeth Taylor and Julie Andrews. 1970s, and see now that here in 1970s, this is where Google started struggling with coming up with just two names. So 1970s, Jane Fonda, Barbara Streisand, and Liza Minnelli. 1980s, Jane Fonda, Sissy Spacek, and Meryl Streep. 1990s, Julia Roberts and Sandra Bullock. 2000s, Julia Roberts, Angelina Jolie, and Charlize Theron. 2010s, Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lawrence, Megan Fox, and Emma Stone. 2020s, Sofia Vergara, Scarlett Johansson, and Frances McDormand. And then again, I jump to 2025. Zendaya, Ana de Armas, and Mikey Madison. Now, I recognize the names from the 1940s forward until we got to 2025. I didn't know any of the three listed. How about you? The heart of my knowledge, though, was from the 1970s through the 2010s. What was the heart of yours? Our concepts and preferences around music and entertainment are different generationally. The same thing happens in the church. Song preferences, worship preferences, our views of one another and what importance and impact we have on the church shifts. Once, when I was in my late 30s or early 40s, I can't remember exactly when, but I was raising my family, taking care of my home, and trying to build my career, all while still doing my best to serve the church. I sat through a sermon during that time that left me irritated and, frankly, somewhat angry. This was a sermon given mostly to folks in situations similar to what I just described, and we were all at the church early because we were serving in the children's ministry. The young man giving the sermon had none of the responsibilities that I mentioned. He was maybe 19 or 20 years old, single, and with no kids. His primary point was that we, his audience, weren't carrying our weight in the church. We weren't committed enough. We weren't being and doing what committed disciples should be and do. At that point, I realized two things. One, he had zero understanding of what I was going through in my life. And two, I used to be him, looking down on the older generation before me. Every generation struggles with the one before it and the one that follows it. The rebels of today are tomorrow's old stodgy codgers. We always think the generation before us is stubborn and stuck in their ways. We also always think the folks a generation or two behind us are too rowdy, too loose thinking, too willing to do stuff we wouldn't do if we were them, so on and so forth. When our teens come back from youth events, they're often fired up and excited. They're ready to change the world. But that won't last long because us older folks will snuff that flame right out with our stiff, unemotional worship and unwillingness to get out of our comfort zones. Then again, I once was one of those young, excited teenagers, disregarding the years of study, the long-term wear and tear of living life, and the years of service in the church. I disregarded the decades of spiritual life that had passed through the older generation, building up a treasure trove of wisdom that I frankly paid no attention to. See, the conflict is real. We all pass from one end of this spectrum to end up in the other. Here's an observation I've made along the way. As Christians age, they either become more stubborn and stuck in their views, or they become more willing to explore and examine other ideas and understandings. Which way they go is in direct correlation correlation to their understanding of the scope of the love of Christ. If they're growing in the knowledge of the love of Christ, they go one way. If they're wrapped up in the fear of Christ, they go the other way. Let's look at 1 John 4:16 to 18. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we're like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, perfect here, that means mature, complete, that type of thing. As we age, we need to consider fear versus love. Are we driven by a fear of change? Are we afraid of differing views? Are we afraid that we'll stumble and start doing something in a way that we think is unscriptural? Are we afraid of what we don't understand? Interestingly, John said that perfect or complete or mature love drives out fear. As your understanding of love expands, so does your understanding of grace. The more grace you have, the more grace you give. But love is at the root of it. It leads to being filled with the fullness of God. I have a great nephew that's totally fearless. It's hilarious. If he can climb it, he will. If he can touch it, he does. If he could go marching down the open road, believe me, he'd be on the journey. He's 3 years old. Those of us with some age on our bones, well, we tend to be much more cautious. That caution grows as our muscles lose their tone and our bones grow more brittle. Experience has taught us that maybe we shouldn't be climbing trees or picking fights with people who just might carry a weapon. I'm thinking that spiritually, our fear quotient, though, should function on a completely opposite scale. The better we understand God's love and His grace, the less we become fearful of making a mistake or doing something incorrectly. The young evangelist Timothy in the Bible is an interesting example. At a young age, he became a protege of Paul, following him in his ministry and eventually taking on a ministry of his own. His mother was Jewish, his father was a Greek. Paul circumcised him so that he could evangelize the Jewish people as well as the Greek. He spent much of his life in Ephesus, and tradition says he died there at about 80 years old. Let's look at a couple of passages from Paul's first letter to him. For the young among us, and for the older folks listening in too, 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So there you go. If you're a young person working for God, don't get worked up over older folks not showing you the level of respect that you think you should get. At the same time, don't let their opinions hold you back. Live a respectful life and give respect to others. Set a proper example of the love of God in action. Now, note to older folks. Paul wrote this out in the open. He expected the older Christians to see his instruction to Timothy and act accordingly. Folks, respect the kids doing church and loving God around you. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Young members, this one is about how you treat those of us with grayer hair, and really everyone else too. Respect, compassion, concern, care. doesn't this just scream agape love? Being rooted in love teaches us how to interact with others, older or younger than us. So how do we overcome our generational divides and conflicts? That's the heart of our question today. How do we overcome our generational divides and our conflicts? Well, let's look finally at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. And just so you know, I view this one as a love passage, a scriptural description of how love drives us to treat others. Here we go. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Overcoming our generational differences comes down to this. I got 3 points for you. Overcoming our generational differences comes down to this. Number one, put yourself in the right perspective. Rid yourself of vanity and selfishness, regardless of which end of the spectrum you're on. Young Christian, older Christian, middle-aged Christian, put yourself in the right perspective. Number two, value others, older or younger, above yourself. And number three, in your relationships, all of them, embrace humility. There it is, your three-step process for bridging the generational divide within the church. But it all comes down to letting love prevail. To close out, here's some homework for you. Find someone of a different generation and let them know how much you appreciate them. Simple. Simple little homework. Find someone of a different generation and let them know how much you appreciate them. Be as specific as possible with what you say. What specifically do you appreciate about them? Tell them. Now, thanks for listening in on this episode. If this message was meaningful to you, please share it with others. Put the link on your social media pages. Let people know about this series. I am available for speaking engagements, just so you know. If your group wants to hear more about the love initiative or learning to love one another and love God in a deeper way, drop me a note. Let's connect. I'm happy to travel to you, or we can do a video conference. My fees are reasonable, and frankly, my schedule is fairly open in general. You can reach me via email at michael@authormicheldecamp.com. michael@authormicheldecamp.com. Or someone suggested I add my Instagram contact. If you want to use that, that's fine. The Instagram is @ mdecamp1985. So @mdecamp1985. Feel free to get in touch. Now, let me say this. If you love the Love Mentalism podcast and you think it's worthwhile, I need your help. Tell people about it. Share it. And lastly, please consider supporting my work on Patreon. Go to www.patreon.com/lovementalism. Join up. Become a member. For only $5 per month, you can get access to my detailed class notes and other materials as I add them over time. right now it's just the notes, but I will be adding more information as long as I keep the Patreon going and people sign up. I'll keep adding stuff. Now, also remember that you can get Love Mentalism stuff, merchandise, everything from stickers to notebooks to pillows to clocks at redbubble.com. Go to redbubble.com and search for M. DeCamp Art to see what's out there. I've also got some of my Henry the Preacher stuff up there too. It might make you chuckle. Okay, until next time, keep loving God, keep learning to better love your neighbor, and ask God for the power to grasp his love for you. Take care, folks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Love Mentalism Podcast. Michael DeCamp is also the author of Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World, a devotional study book available for order through Amazon or your local bookstore. Michael is available for speaking engagements. Feel free to reach out via his email, michael@authormichaeldecamp.com. Music provided courtesy of Xander Fadley. You can find his work at xanderfadley.com. Post-production provided by Bill Whitehair. The Love Mentalism Podcast is available through most podcast providers. Please subscribe so you can continue to catch future episodes. Until next time, may your love grow in knowledge and depth of insight.